Okay?
And I say welcome to the show. Hey, it's Thursday the 12th. I'm Rich Masotti.
And I'm Guy Monica.
And we're here to fuck you up. Speaking of which, I was in YouTube the other day. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I came across it, but there was this recent clip of Eddie Trunk discussing Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley on the upcoming End of the Road tour.
Of course, yeah. Well, right? you know,
he can't stop talking about them.
Yeah, he's good for that.
Right. And so the particular specific topic on this occasion happened to be the fact that Kiss can get away with selling fans part of the experience. Mm. Okay? So not only do you pay for a ticket to go see the show, but you might get to meet the band, meet and greet, autographs, sound check. But now you can purchase the bass Gene plays on stage. You can purchase the guitar that Paul smashes at the end of the show. You can even purchase the torch Gene lights before breathing fire, right? Actually used, actually played on stage, one of a kind, one time only, and all yours for a hefty price tag, right? But Eddie Trunk spent the whole episode talking about how ridiculous or ridiculously overpriced this stuff is.
In typical Trunk fashion, you know, he always likes to proclaim himself, and I guess somewhat rightly so, as a longtime Kiss fan and supporter. But he, being in the position that he's in, is always the first to let you know of his opinion as far as things like this go whenever Gene or Paul make business decisions.
Right, right. So you said something very important. I'm not an Eddie Trunk fan, and I have not been exposed to much of his work or material. We've met him once, and we'll get back to that. I know he's been around a while. I know he's probably helped a number of up-and-coming young and unsigned acts. And I know that my phone is ringing, so I'll just take care of that in a moment. But as I said, the guy, I'm sure, has made a mark and helped some people. But somewhere along the way, he went from being a super-duper Kiss fan to what? Bashing everything they do?
It certainly can come off that way. I don't necessarily know that, you know, or think that that's his...
What went wrong there?
Yeah, again, you know, we don't know the guy personally, but it seems to me that he just reached a point where he got a little too overcritical, maybe unnecessarily critical of a band that he allegedly, you know, grew up idolizing and was a tremendous influence on him and so on and so forth.
All right, now I know he's friendly with Ace Frehley, the original guitarist of the band, right?
Right.
Okay. Somewhere along the way, he had a falling out with Paul Stanley, maybe? Or Paul Stanley didn't pay him the mind and attention he was looking for?
Probably something more along those lines, I would imagine.
And his panties got all twisted up or something like that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm listening to this thing, again, a former or current or, I don't know, Kiss fan, with nothing positive or pleasant to say about the band anymore. And as a fan who will be attending the End of the Road tour, a fan who's been to many of their shows, I certainly would spend the money if I could, if I had it, I would spend the money on some of these experiences, and we'll get back to that on a future episode because we've got a lot to share. This is not about Kiss. This is about Eddie Trunk. So now is as good a time as any to segue from just having heard him talk like a dick to having met him at a recent Saigon Kick show and what we saw there. What do you recall?
Well, we went to see Saigon Kick. I want to say it was about a year ago now, almost, right? Or was it over a year?
Yeah, it was a little more than a year.
Was it more than a year?
I wasn't sure if, you know, we needed a...
Whatever.
Yeah, I was going to try to sell it like it was just recently. But yeah, it was April 2017.
Oh, Christ. Well, all right then. Recently.
Was
it?
Saigon Kick at Webster Hall.
Mm.
Isn't that the show we saw Eddie at? No. Was it a Jason show? No, it was the whole band.
No.
Oh, go ahead.
No, it was Saigon. Yeah. No. So he happened to be hosting the show in connection with whatever local radio or promoter or whatever Jason and the guys were working with. And, in typical Trunk fashion, very sort of standoffish and whatnot, very, I'm here, I'm going to do my thing, and,
Probably standoffish in the crowd, right? Did we see him in the crowd before he was called up to the stage?
He was in the back of the room. We were a lot closer to the stage, but he was in the back of the room. He was in the back of the room there. We were up front.
All right, I didn't notice, because I wouldn't be looking for him, and I was just concerned about being as close to the stage as possible.
Right, yeah, okay. Of course, yeah. But, comes out and introduces the band and says his little thing and whatever. And
we're metalheads at heart, right? But I have to say, this guy showed up in, like, you know, his jeans didn't, am I really going to do this? His jeans didn't fit. He looked like a bum. He looked like a schmuck.
He looked as though, he had, gone home after work for the day, completely forgetting that he had this engagement the evening coming up, and he just ran right back out of the house.
Right. Okay. Now, and for the record, on this occasion, you were still an Eddie Trunk fan. I was not.
All right. I'll clear that up. Not necessarily, and I haven't ever really been an Eddie Trunk fan. And to be perfectly clear, the only thing that I still, not that I'm necessarily a fan of, but that I appreciate, are some of the playlists on his Friday Night Rock show or whatever the day of the week it is. I feel bad that I don't remember.
All right. Okay. So I don't know where it airs, but apparently he plays a lot of music we would enjoy listening to.
Exactly.
We just wouldn't necessarily agree with all of his opinions.
Correct.
And that's what they are. But because he's been around for a number of years and he has a certain following and he has fans of his own, and because he knows so many of these guys in the industry now, I guess his opinion is gospel to some. Right? So, but I remember at the Saigon Kick show being like, yeah, no, and you being like, well, and so we weren't exactly eye to eye on our Eddie Trunk positions.
Okay.
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 But eventually they get him up to the stage, and upon hitting the stage where he's supposed to introduce now the main event, the headliners for the night, because we also saw
Shinobi Ninja
and Midnight Mob.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
This was April 2017. The studio at Webster Hall, mm-hmm. no longer in existence, if I'm correct.
I believe you're correct.
Okay. Get closer to the mic.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. What'd you say?
Yeah. You're right.
So they call him to the stage, and he makes his announcement. But while doing so, a young man in the crowd sort of pushes his way from the back of the crowd up to the front, and he's yelling something at the stage. Now, I don't remember what he was saying. He was saying a name. He was saying, like, hey, what about so-and-so? Hey, Eddie, what about, como si chiam? I don't remember the guy's name. I don't know if we need to make one up for the purposes of illustrating. What about, Joe Paterno? Huh? What about Joe Paterno? Yeah, I don't know. He was saying something. And at this point, it's kind of like, who's this dick pushing through the crowd?
Yeah, and eventually it turned up it turned into a fuck you, Ed, fuck you.
And that's right. That's right. So he's, yeah. Eddie won't answer him, won't pay him any mind.
Fuck you, you suck, fuck you.
Yeah, so now he's yelling at Eddie Trunk, he's cursing at him, he's giving him the finger, right? And I think Eddie, in the middle of his spiel, responds to this kid. Was it before or after the intro?
No, right after the intro, right as he introduces the band and says, "Everyone have a great show." Hold on.
Yeah, right. So I'm Eddie Trunk for a second. All right, you know, here we are, and here comes Saigon Kick, and we love them, and Atlantic Records recording orders. He does his whole thing, right? And then after introing the band, he, instead of just exiting, makes his way to the edge of the stage where he now wants to address this kid.
So he steps out to the front of the stage very abruptly, reaches out his arm, his hand, and flips the kid off right in his face, and then...
But it's one of these, it's not just like, here, I'm going to give you the finger too. It's like something I would have done in the past, where you can't hit somebody, right?
Yes,
you know, exactly. You don't have the balls to put your hands on somebody, so you give them the finger so angrily and violently and aggressively, like right in their face.
As close as you can to their fucking face, yeah.
Right. So he goes to give the finger back to this kid in such an aggressive, angry way, like in 3D. And there's some laughs and some hoots and some hollers. If I'm being honest, I think the kid who was starting the trouble probably got some boos from the crowd.
Oh, but he got a robust cheer from me after I realized what was going on.
Once we realized what was going on, we were on his side. At first, we thought he was just trying to bust his way up to the front of the stage.
Well, he was. If I'm not mistaken, the group beforehand, whether it was Shinobi Ninja, he was being a little annoying and whatnot, trying to bump his way up and whatnot, and this and that and the other. He was acting like a jerk, and he was annoying the piss out of us.
Oh, not me. I don't remember that at all.
You don't?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Look, I specifically remember once us acknowledging and realizing what this kid was doing, giving shit to Eddie, it made up for whatever annoyances that
I don't remember the annoyance, but we loved him once we found out what was going on. But Eddie, like he wanted to cry, like he didn't know what to do with himself, tried to give this finger back to the kid, right? And then really looking twisted and bent out of shape, and leaves the stage, does a bunch of other things before finally getting out of the building. But from what we hear, like a day or two later, is that he pulled a hamstring or something at that show.
Leg or back issue. He had a leg or a back ailment that nobody seemed to, there really wasn't much more information. And upon hearing this, we look at each other and go, oh, I wonder.
We could have provided that information. Right? We know exactly what happened. He tried so hard to flip this kid off because his panties were in a bunch. Why do I keep saying panties? Panties.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. His panties were in a bunch. He tried so hard to put his finger in this kid's face that he pulled a friggin' hamstring or something.
Something.
He hurt himself.
Yeah.
He tensed up so much. Hitting no one, doing nothing, that he hurt himself on the way out of that Saigon Kick show. We could go on and on about this. We're not going to right now. Mm. We might revisit this. I'm sure very soon, if I should happen to make the mistake of stumbling upon one of his clips on YouTube again in the near future, I'm sure there'll be more fuel and more fodder to cover. But in the meantime, we just wanted to get this off our chest, okay? We are Kiss fans. I am not in any trunk.
I'm with you.
Any trunk or Eddie Trunk?
I'm not a fan of any kind of trunks.
All right, good. Except the elephant trunk located in the building next door to Rise Above Flotation at 111 East Main Street in Mount Kisco. That's the only elephant trunk I'm a fan of.
I've got to revisit. I am a fan of one pair of swim trunks that I have.
Okay. All right. Shame on you for not remembering that a moment ago. But we're going to move on for now. We've got a lot more in store for you. The bottom line is Eddie Trunk is a dick, and if we haven't convinced you, and I don't think we have, we'll try again harder next time.
Oh, we will.
Hey, it's Rich. Have you heard about flotation therapy? It's also known as sensory deprivation. Well, Rise Above Flotation is Westchester County, New York's first and only flotation center. Based on the science of sensory deprivation for deep relaxation and exceptional awareness, Rise Above Flotation features three float-away sensory deprivation tanks designed by Colin Smith, the chief engineer of Rolls-Royce and co-inventor of the Concorde supersonic passenger jet. Call 914-241-1900 or visit riseaboveflotation.com for more information. Rise Above Flotation is located at 111 East Main Street in Mount Kisco, New York, and you can book your first float by visiting riseaboveflotation.com. Now, let's not have it be said that this show doesn't have some sort of educational, intellectual purpose or function. So let's get right into the heart of the matter. The music you heard at the top was written and recorded by the guys in Kiss and Savatage. And we want to educate you and also open up some discussion about some fundamental, theoretical, musical-type stuff. That all sounded really good until I said type stuff. So let's begin from the top. Psycho Circus is a song by the American hard rock band Kiss. And no, this is not a Kiss podcast. It is the title track from the 1996 album with the same name. The B-side is the non-album track In Your Face, which I'm not sure I've ever heard. A song written by bassist Gene Simmons and sung by Kiss guitarist vocalist Ace Frehley, of all people. No longer Kiss guitarist vocalist, but possibly making some appearances on that upcoming End of the Road tour. Psycho Circus was written by guitarist vocalist Paul Stanley and Kurt Cuomo, specifically to fit the theme of the Psycho Circus tour and album. According to producer Bruce Fairbairn, we didn't have an opener for the record. We didn't have anything that was going to start things off. And Paul just looked at me and said, check this, this is it. We both sat there and looked at each other and started to laugh, because that was it. As a single, the song became the band's first number one hit on the Billboard Hot Mainstream Rock Tracks chart, while also proving to be a top 10 hit in other countries in the world, including Canada and Norway. The song would open sets for the band on the Psycho Circus tour to support the album, and was performed on Kiss's live album Kiss Symphony Alive 4 in 2003. Psycho Circus returned to set list during the 2010s on both the Monster World Tour and the Kiss 40th Anniversary World Tour. Psycho Circus was nominated for a Grammy Award in 1999 for Best Hard Rock Performance, losing out to Jimmy Page and Robert Plant's Most High. Any comments on that?
Well, you know, that was... we can go into a whole other discussion there with Kiss getting gypped somewhat. This instance specifically, full disclosure, I am a tremendous Led Zeppelin fan and fan of both Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. With that being said, these two recordings here, in my personal opinion, there was no comparison. Psycho Circus got gypped on that one.
And I remember I was living in Florida at the time, and when I heard that Kiss was nominated for a Grammy, I couldn't believe it. Mm. Did you hear that, folks? Kiss, Grammy-nominated recording artists, 1999 for the Psycho Circus single. A music video was made to promote the single, which was made in the same 3D theme as the album and tour, and was directed by James J. Hurlburt and produced by Doc McGee and Eddie Vasker. Although the video was generally ignored by MTV, it won a 1998 Metal Edge Reader's Choice Award for Video of the Year. To compensate for the lack of MTV airplay, the band released the video on VHS complete with 3D glasses. I purchased that. In addition to Psycho Circus, the included CD single features Ace Frehley's In Your Face, maybe I did hear it, a song not available elsewhere in North America. The video was certified platinum in the U.S. The video was the first by the band since the video for I Love It Loud to feature the band wearing their famous makeup.
There you go. Okay.
Yes, right. So Psycho Circus came out in 1998. The title track is still played on some of their tours. I do expect it on the End of the Road tour. And what you heard at the top there was not only the carnival entrance, the music, to go along with the whole circus theme and the 3D concept they had in mind for the tour, but Paul Stanley featured saying, and welcome to the show. That'll segue us into the second part of that intro track, which was written and recorded by the guys in one of my other favorite metal bands right out of Florida, Savatage. And here's a little bit on that from Guy.
Yes, that was a song called... what was that song called?
Welcome.
Oh, it was Welcome, right. That was off of their album, The Wake of Magellan. That was the 10th studio album released by that band, Savatage. I believe it was September of 97. And was it September of 97?
In Europe and Japan.
Okay. All right. So then it came out the following year here in the U.S., probably around April, I believe, if memory serves correct. It was a concept album, and it was based on two real-life events. The first, the Maersk Dubai incident, occurred less than a year before this album was released, when the captain of a freighter threw three Romanian stowaways overboard in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. A fourth stowaway was saved by the courageous action of a deckhand who risked his own life to protect the youth. The second event, regarding the Irish reporter Veronica Green, forgive me for a mispronunciation, who passed away.
It might be Guerin or Guerin.
Okay, Veronica Guerin, we'll call her, who died fighting the growth of the drug trade in her own country. Her death may accomplish what she could not in life. These events are combined into the story of an old Spanish sailor who has decided to end his life by sailing his small boat out into the Atlantic until it sinks. In his mind, he's romanticized this decision as a glorious, Viking-esque way to die. When in the ocean, winds push him into a great storm, and he believes that his wish is about to be granted in a great dramatic fashion. He suddenly sees a man drowning in the ocean. He believes, in an instant, he finds himself taken back every wish for his death's embrace and fights to save his soul. After many twists and turns, he's able to save the stowaway that had been thrown overboard. Returning to land, he now realizes that not only every life is precious, but also every hour of that life. This is the first Savatage album to have the same lineup as the previous album since Hall of the Mountain King in 1987, and also the last to feature vocals from lead singer Zachary Stevens. Board player Derek Sheeranan and Al... again, forgive me for the mispronunciations. They went to college together, and they were both in the band Trelli and John Petrucci also played together on a Japanese release called Guitar Well, I always call him Petrucci because I had a... whatever.
Well, you would.
That. Yeah. The album for being a super melodic, varied, 100% song-oriented conquered the heart after repeated listenings. Unmistakable style and yet constantly change. Metal Rules reviewer Metal Rules reviewer was happy to find considered Zach Stevens' performance that of a vocal genius, quote-unquote. All Paul O'Neill and remarked how Savatage surprisingly graceful but it has sweeping melodies, intricate arrangements, and stunning solos that the group continued to improve in the 90s, unquote. Canadian journalist thought wise, but appreciated how the album got right to the metal and decidedly raw and basic metal oddity enough. Of piano to riff dynamic. I'm not exactly sure what that means. Just read it. Had been compared to.
And Welcome was the second... music. There was a song called The Ocean, and then that segued... And again, as I said, a band out of the Tampa, Florida area, known for... album production and values. But welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. And it's obvious why we use that stuff, and probably obvious. Pick apart and analyze, and you being more versed in music.
Okay. First and foremost, we'll go with the for me was it was refreshing. It was the first recording that we got from the band with the original lineup. In what was it?
Holy chips! Well, they last recorded together in
had to be 20 years.
In theory. It was 1981, Unmasked, right?
Maybe 82.
81. No, 82 was Creatures of the Night.
Okay, then it was, yeah. All right, at any rate.
So yeah, 81, in theory, was the last time all four original members recorded together. And then you have Psycho Circus in 98.
So we were very we were just the anticipation was incredible for this. We didn't know what to expect, but we knew that we were gonna have our asses handed to us, because for the first time in what seemed like forever, we had the original Kiss lineup recording an album that you know, for years no one ever would have thought were possible. For fans like us who are in our 40s right now, we grew up, you know, Kiss was at its height. Its original lineup was at its height while we were babies and before, you know, so we weren't necessarily privy or exposed at an old enough age to appreciate the original lineup. You know, all we had were our cassette tapes and CDs to listen to and VHS tapes to watch and whatnot. So this was a super duper dream come true for any and all serious Kiss fans like us.
Absolutely, and it was on the heels of an unreleased, almost unreleased, final album with the Stanley Simmons Kulik singer lineup, Carnival of Souls. Mm. Coincidentally, Psycho Circus, Carnival of Souls. They had this album on the shelf for a while. It had been leaked to the internet and was playing everywhere. And the people who were a fan of Kiss's Revenge album from 1992, with a return to the roots but also a heavier sound, were hungry for this Carnival of Souls album, which eventually did get released just because it was out there already and the band wanted something that sounded good they wanted the official record out there instead of all the bootlegs. So that was released to little fanfare, and then... on the heels of the reunion tour and all of that big noise, the band decided to get back in the studio together and record Psycho Circus. And we can get into, you know, who really played on it and how involved Peter, Chris, and Ace really were. Mm. But we're not here for that right now. We can revisit that in long form at another time. So stay tuned to Thursday the 12th for more of that. But I'm curious, Large, what chords do you think they were playing on Psycho Circus?
Oh, they were... Well, they were playing...
That's good. That's what I thought, too. And the lyrics of the song... the lyrics of the song are heavy with imagery. You know, makeup and embers burning and...
Right.
That kind of thing. Harken back to, you know, you see them performing live when you listen to the song. And, you know, that song is pretty much just balls out and in your face. The Sabotage song, on the other hand, Welcome to the Show, Welcome to the Show, then unfolds into a story about these sailors and not refugees, but what would you call that guy?
Stowaways.
Stowaways and pirates and drugs and, you know, sacrificing to save another soul and that kind of thing. And right. There's some really good material on that album. But, you know, what else did you glean from that passage and your experience of that record?
Well, that record for me was one of the last Savatage records that I was exposed to. And also ended up turning out being one of my favorite records. Well written, well produced, very melodic, very hard also at times. Savatage is another band that takes advantage of the light and shade contrast and aspect of rock music, of heavy metal music. They're very good like that. They're good with their melodies and their harmonies. Their musicianship is fantastic. The guitar playing was incredible. The drums also incredible. A very emotional, moving, very listenable.
yeah, and moving indeed. And the CD had some bonus tracks on it as well that John Oliva did strip down, I think, with just the piano.
Right.
I love how Savatage was able to use Zach Stevens and John Oliva's vocals together. Not much in the same way, but. You know, along the same lines as Paul and Gene,
sure.
Sort yeah. of. Paul yeah. and Gene, also known with many of their classics and anthemic hits, having shared vocal duties in those songs. And we really, we can't say enough about either record. I don't know that it's my favorite Savatage album, but it's certainly up there. And for me, when the band went back to John Oliva and Zach Stevens went off to do his own thing, that final, let's say, Savatage album, I think it was Poets and Madmen, just didn't do it for me quite as much, but I'm still holding out for some sort of a reunion and a return to form for them at least one more time, maybe with the whole family brought back together.
One can only hope.
You know, Zach, John, Johnny Lee Middleton, right. You know, anybody they can, Doc Kildrums, if he's still around, anybody they can get back together. While Trans-Siberian Orchestra is not touring, of course.
Of course.
We lost Paul O'Neill. He was a writer and producer for Savatage and Trans-Siberian Orchestra. We lost him last year or this past year, and I'm sure that hit them all very hard. And Savatage grew into Trans-Siberian Orchestra, which is a wonderful thing, and I'm delighted they remain successful. But I'd still love to see the band proper come back and give us another one of these concept albums.
Without question, absolutely.
Now, so if you have any questions about either of these songs or either of these albums, we'd love to hear from you. There's a lot more we want to discuss in this case, and we want to open up a conversation about the writing, about the use of these songs together. And the message it sends to you, the musicianship of both bands, probably more obvious with Savatage than Kiss, known for its showmanship
absolutely.
Rather than its musicianship. But we'd love to hear from you so we can discuss this music further. And you can contact us at any one of the following ways, or in any one of the following ways. We're available at Thursday the 12th podcast at gmail.com. We're available on Instagram as The Thursday the 12th Podcast. We're available on Twitter as Thursday the 12th Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. There's a Facebook group known as Thursday the 12th. So there are a lot of them out there. On Facebook, you're looking for a group. On Instagram, you're looking for The Thursday the 12th Podcast. And on Twitter, you're looking for at Thursday the 12th Podcast. You'll know if you found us. At the moment, there's a coming soon graphic up. But we will, when you hear this, we have probably revealed our brand new art. We think you'll get a kick out of it. That'll reveal a little bit more of what we're about and our flavor and where we're headed with this show. But we certainly want to thank you for listening. We will be here every Thursday with something new. And you can look forward to a format like this and probably a show about this long, although we will occasionally go a little bit longer and begin to supplement the normal weekly Thursday schedule with some long-form shows that might run an hour or longer, and we'll be covering a variety of topics, both entertaining and educational, for your listening pleasure.
Indeed, yeah. So, and just, again, to reiterate, you know, all those outlets, folks, if you have any questions, comments, or want to add, we are open and welcome to any and all suggestions and questions.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Thursday the 12th. My name is Rich Masotti.
And my name is Guy Monica.
And if you've been listening to our voices for the past 30, 35 minutes, then somewhere, somehow, we are one. Thanks again. We'll see you next Thursday.
Rich Masotti. Commercials.
You pay your auto insurance premium every month on the dot. You're like the poster child for paying on time. And in return, for drivers like you with accident forgiveness and no late payments, Farmers won't raise your rates due to your first accident.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Picking a paint color for that special space in your home can be a real beast. Glidden Paint comes to the rescue with only the colors people love to live with. Glidden gets you going. Fact, when you take Advil, you get relief right at the site of pain, wherever it is. Advil stops pain right where it starts. Relief doesn't get any better than this. Advil.
With Clorox 2, we've turned removing stains into a science. Watch stains disappear right before your eyes. Remove four times more stains than detergent alone. Get new Clorox 2. At Jersey Mike's, we think every sub should have something to say about where it came from, about the people who made it, about how they made it. A sub can say it all without saying a single word. Jersey Mike's, a sub above.